Good. Hello? Oh, it is working. Can you turn it up a little bit? Can you guys hear me? Okay. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the registry roundtable. She's closing the door. Thank you. My name's Krista Papik, and I'm the Director of Registry Services. Before we get started, I wanted to just remind everybody we have some light breakfast over here, continental breakfast and coffee. There's water over here. And I just wanted to maybe take a minute to explain what this session is about. So as we've been building out the Global Domains Division and operationalizing it and creating functional departments, we've been looking for different ways to engage with the registries and how to support you guys. And as you know, we have the Registry Services and Engagement Team, and our primary focus is both on the relationship with you and making sure that ICANN has tools and services in place that help support you in with your, you know, in keeping up with your contracts and your businesses. So as part of that effort, what we've been trying to do is look for different ways to engage with you and to change the conversation. And we're all used to the standard ICANN format where ICANN stands in front of the room and we present information to you and you come to the mic and give us feedback. And so what we're doing here is just trying to do things a little bit differently. So some of you went to the Registry Roadshow, and we had more of a workshop format in that roadshow. And then at the last ICANN meeting, which was in Singapore, we did a roadshow reunion where we had a session very similar to this. So we thought we would try it for all registries, not just those that went to the roadshow. So the idea is that you set the agenda. This is really just an open format for us to have a dialogue, to help us better understand what you're going through and for you to hear from us what we're doing to try and support you. And let's try to get, you know, sort of closer to having a common understanding of the different things that are going on. So to do that, we'd like you all to write down a couple of agenda items or topics you'd like to discuss in here. Anything you like. We have a suggestion box, and some of the team members are going around sort of asking you for them. So then what we'll do is we'll go through the different suggestions. We'll have you guys rank them, and we'll pick the top two or three to go through. And if we can get through more than that, we will. But we only have about a little more than an hour left, so we want to make sure that we cover at least your top two to three items. So does that sound like something that, does that work for all of you? Hearing no dissent. great. So is there anybody who has topics that they would like to put in the box? Suggestions? All right, anybody else with topics? Okay. So Fabienne's going to type the suggestions we've received into the, I don't know what that's called, but in the Adobe chat, I guess. It's like a whiteboard in there. And as he's doing that, if you guys think of something else, just raise your hand or let us know or whatever, and we'll add it to the list. We've got a suggestion in the box. So as Fabian's putting this up, what I want to do at the end of this, too, is take maybe just 5 minutes to get your feedback on whether you guys like this session and would like to keep doing it or whether it was not helpful.
All right, good morning, everyone. My apologies for the delay. It's just been several things this morning. How are you holding up on the last day of an ICANN meeting? Okay, everyone is awake? Okay. he's not sure. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be with you as we kind of come to the closure of this Buenos Aires meeting. We have... I would say we have had a very constructive meeting, a very good meeting here in Buenos Aires. The substance was high and the focus on the business is coming back a little bit. I know many of you feel the oxygen of ICANN is completely taken by the transition, but I do believe we're starting to see some of that kind of get compartmentalized because people have business to get done at ICANN as well. And I can't wait for seeing the transition, frankly, behind us so we can get back to a lot of work we need to do and focus on. In Singapore, as you remember, I exhorted you to be very engaged in the transition because I was, frankly, a little bit worried at the time that we don't have enough registry attention to that. And I think you've proven me wrong completely. Your engagement, your focus on making the transition work for this industry has been very good. So I thank you for that. Are you... let me say, with you, I think we made a very important announcement on Monday morning that the timeline for the transition is now clear. We were in touch most of the night with people in Washington, D.C. as we're watching the dot-com bill go through the Senate. We now have pretty much agreement by the key senators that things are moving in the right direction. I think the dot-com bill will become law. And if it does, we will live by it as we would with any law. What that means, though, is the transition timeline is now clearer because we needed Congress to tell us how they want to be involved in the approval of this. And if the transition timeline is correct, then we could be done per community input in the last 48 hours, either in June or latest in September next year. By done, I mean the contract will lapse. The contract will lapse. So with this behind us, we now move a lot more towards how do we serve you better. I must tell you, the spirit of service from ICANN to the registries is very important. And it could be either that you feel every time you deal with us that you're dealing with the Department of Motor Vehicles, or you are dealing with, frankly, people who want you to be successful. And understanding that you are indeed our partners and our customers is very important, and I believe that Krista and the team have changed that spirit, that ethos of how do we work with you. It's very easy to fall into the regulator mode, but we're not your regulator. We are your partner. In fact, I said that very clearly yesterday in the GAC. We do not have the powers of regulatory agencies, nor do we want them. We are a partner. We signed a contract with you. We need to honor the contract. You honor the contract. And we work together to make sure the environment is going well. I think you also see that part of our work with the GAC is starting to inure good work for you and for us. in that we made our relationship with the GAC, I think, a lot more cooperative, a lot more open. The GNSO has a good liaison to the GAC. We are working closer with the GAC. Our team now meets with the GAC leaders regularly to make sure there are no surprises and we don't just show up at every big meeting and a big communique surprises us. There's a lot better cadence of understanding how the GAC wants to opine or advise on our business in a way that is not surprising us every time. So that's, I think we are moving into a much better space in that regard. Compliance is a different environment now than it used to be, with the leadership that both Maggie and Alan have combined. We now have a compliance also function that is rooted in an understanding of the contract, not just of the tactical things that need to be checked, right? So we now have in Alan also a very capable attorney who understands how to anchor these agreements with you into a broader context and a broader understanding. And I hope that you will find in him a helpful ally in advancing our work in a more thoughtful way, balancing the intellectual property interests with your interests, with all the interests that are swarming around how do we manage compliance. And I think it's working quite well right now. And I hope that you are having good engagement with him to help with that. I want to touch on one last thing and then hear you out a little bit. Of course, you have all been informed about the breach we experienced in Salesforce.com, which caused some exposure of data. Without commenting on that, you know, beyond what's necessary, I think the ICANN team did everything to inform, communicate to the right people what happened as fast as we can. The investigation was massive because, as Ash told you, there were over a billion records that had to be looked at one by one to figure out who saw what when, so we can give you the right information. And that's been done by an independent party. We reviewed that work and we informed you. I am embarrassed by the technical glitch that led to the breach, very embarrassed by that. And I think we have now put in place internally new processes and methods to avoid such glitches. And I can tell you that some of these things had happened a long time ago when we did not have, with all frankness, we did not have the management and leadership and the processes that Ash has now put in place. So this was a mistake that happened pre his time when we had multiple contractors touching the same software. So that's behind us now. But what I'm not embarrassed by is how we responded to this. And I know that some people feel that we could have communicated better or differently. I asked for specifics on that. So if there are specific things you believe we could have done differently, I'd like to hear these. But I believe our team did, frankly, our best to be accurate in the communication, to not accuse prematurely, to make sure we have the right data about who saw what when, so that we protect you, we protect your business, and we, of course, protect ICANN. So my apologies personally for that breach, because as your CEO, that breach is my mistake. And I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm sorry about it as well. So, and I hope that we can move past this not just to move past it, but we move past it with a plan to reduce the possibilities of things like this happening in the future. I'm happy to take any questions or to clarify any points about any issue that you want to bring up to me. So please, Adrian, good to see you.
Good morning, Fadi.
Good morning.
I just wanted to give some feedback, if I could.
Please.
I have noticed through my team the feedback to me in my organisation that ICANN have, I think, improved considerably. Their interactions with us on a case-by-case basis. I'm talking about GDD and compliance specifically. There have been times, we all have issues, and I think you've just been talking about one big one that you had. And I think that so long as there is a level of understanding between the both of us where mistakes have been made, then I think ICANN has shown some flexibility in its dealings with us that we've appreciated. So I think that that is a step in the right direction. I do, however, believe that there is a line where there is a difference between what is a mistake and what is being someone deliberately stepping outside their registry agreement. And we have rules to play by, and I think that it would be, we rely on ICANN to act in that circumstance. Otherwise, it becomes Lord of the Flies very, very quickly. And I would implore you to ensure that those teeth are brushed and they come out when appropriate. That's not to be confused with my first point, which is where is a mistake on both sides, let's talk it through. And that's great. That's good. That's why it should be, because that's a partnership. But you can't always be partners if one of the two parties is deliberately doing something wrong. And we rely on you in a competitive landscape to use your teeth, use the registry agreement, and enforce it.
Adrian is always very precise with your words and poignant. So thanks for your thanks. But frankly, it's not about thanking us. This is what we should do. We should be your partners. If we're not, then we fall very quickly into thinking we somehow regulate you. We don't regulate you. We're not your regulator. We're your partner. We want you to be successful. We want to do our part, and you do your part. And we have a contract that defines that. And you heard me many times this week standing up to people who want to use my contract with you as a club to do different things. I'm not going to do it. And I'm making it clear to them in every place, including in Congress. I will on July 8th when I'm there in front of Congress. So we will use this contract and apply it within the spirit of the contract, in a spirit of partnership with you. If you don't comply, we'll do our part. And in fact, your admonition here is, when you need to do your part, do it. So stand up to any registry, to any player who is not playing by the rules, because if I don't do that, I also hurt you. So at the same time, some registries are saying, ease on compliance, and compliance is... I think what we did with the addition of Alan to Maggie is we've made compliance, in my opinion, a much sharper but also intelligent tool, in the sense that it has both sides. It has the operational side of Maggie, but it also has the analytical side of Alan. And together, they actually deliver very good value to you. But I will. And Adrian, I'm going to ask you to tell me when you think Akram and the team and Alan are not doing the right thing, without maybe necessarily you pointing at the registry, or I don't want you to get into that, but I know that you are straight, direct with me, so you let me know, because these are big questions you're asking. These are not tactical issues that we solve in good spirit of partnership. But when you say ICANN is not, in some cases, stepping in to say this is wrong, then I need to know. Having said that, I want to be clear. I will not get into pricing issues. So this is where they're trying to drag me, for example, with .sucks. Notice nobody's saying anything on .sucks that is about the word sucks. Nobody's arguing with me about the morality, or because that's not my business. I'm not a content police. If people want to buy .sucks, that's up to them. But the issue is on pricing, and they're trying to get me on the pricing angle, and I will not get into becoming a price authority. It's that simple. You told me so. I mean, the community discussed pricing for a long time. So I'm following your policy, the guidebook, which says stay out of pricing. So if the Canadian authorities and the American chairwoman of the FTC basically told me, you figure it out, then I have no guidance. And if I have no guidance, I shall not act, because it's not my business to get into your business of pricing. So this is clear. And now, I'm not presuming you're touching on the issue of pricing, but I'm giving as an example that certain areas I'll be very clear on that I'm not going to get into your business. I don't want to... I'm following the policy of staying out of that. Competition, pricing, content, this is not my business. My business is to support your contract and make you successful. Any other questions or comments, please?
Ruben Skilnik.br. Fadi, during registry session with the board, I noticed that both you and Akram reacted to a registry position that we would like to be informed before the media or alongside with the media. And I think that was a misunderstanding that this was about the breach. Keith's point was about the trademark clearinghouse issue where its operations were affected, and we never got any communication, but media outlets got information about that. So that was the point he was making, and nobody had that information in a private communication and then spilled out to the media. The media got it directly from ICANN, and we would like to have received that information beforehand, or at least at the same time.
On the example you bring up, and I don't know the details, spot on. I would agree with you 100%. So if we felt that it was expedient or more urgent to talk to the media than to inform you first, that would be a tactical mistake on our part, and we would take that to heart and make sure that doesn't happen again. What I was heartened by in the same statement that your colleague Keith did was that he also acknowledged that there are very good channels of communications going on right now. This was just an instance of, since we have these channels, why didn't you just bring it up in one of those channels as opposed to either leaking it or allowing it to leak or simply feeling that it's okay to tell the press. And I don't know the facts, so I don't want to either accuse my team or... But if this happened, I agree with you, this would be a tactical mistake and not in the spirit of the communication channels that Krista and team have established in good faith with you. So thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate
it. Buddy, can I ask a question? I'm Jody Rich. I'm the CEO of .co. Hi, nice to see you again. It strikes me that as an organization and a partner of ours, the product that we've launched over the last few years has fallen way short of all of our expectations from a sales point of view. There are considerably less than a million new TLDs that are resolving to meaningful sites. And as a partner of ours, we've paid our partner hundreds of millions of dollars, and we've seen you do wonderful things with that money, and you know what I'm going to say next. If we were to go to the streets of Buenos Aires or Wichita, Kansas, or London or New York, and ask 100 people on the street if they know what a new TLD is, or a dot... Oh, they might know what a dot sucks is, perhaps, by now, unfortunately. But they really don't know anything beyond .com still. And we've all invested. We've invested in ICANN in relationship. We've invested in ICANN in money. We've invested in our own businesses. And there needs to be just a huge shift in focus towards, in my view, towards consumer awareness. And I don't think our partner ICANN can take the view that it is up to us to do all that work. I think that the major registrars have failed us because I don't think their search engines properly push new TLDs, and I've said that. I think that ICANN has failed us in that we've paid huge amounts of money and we've not spent enough on awareness. And I do think that perhaps at the end of the day we'll all save ourselves because there's still word of mouth, and luckily we have social and people will talk about the wonderful experiences that they're having. But I really would, as a shareholder, I guess, because I've invested in ICANN, and you as the CEO, if I was at the shareholders meeting right now, I would be yelling and screaming and saying, what are we doing to help us sell more widgets? Because if we don't sell more widgets, life is going to be really tough.
Oops. Thank you, Jody. Look, I, as a businessman and as one heading back to the business world in a few months, I completely sympathize with your frustration about where we are. The difficulty, as I'm sure you know, is that we need all the shareholders to tell us to do something at ICANN. This is the system. This is how ICANN works. So the discussion on how to use the excess monies, the auction monies, has just started. Actually, yesterday afternoon, they had a fantastic session, a very good session. I just would encourage the registries to be very vocal in that session and to make the case. And while the session is still very philosophical, you know, what do we do with the money? Do we do good? Do we do this? Do we do that? I can assure you of one thing, that I will stand by and that my chairman will stand by. This money cannot be used except to strengthen the mission of ICANN. If we start using the money outside of our remit, I think we will be lost as an organization. I look at other organizations, I won't name names, in the global sphere that have started a development arm, and the development arm started doing favors and projects around the planet. It ruined the organization itself. So we must stay in our remit. Now, if I follow that logic for just one more step, is it within our remit to support the TLD program that we've launched with great fanfare over the last few years? Again, most reasonable people would say yes, right? So we need security, stability, support of the program, right? Now, some people fear that because they say if we support the program, it means we are supporting a program that will fill our coffers, right? So you balance that. You make sure that how that money is spent is balanced, right? So maybe some of that money should be spent to stabilize the IANA, to stabilize the security and stability of the root server operators, etc. So you come up with a formula that ensures we balance the spending, but it has to stay within the remit. Now, you may be thinking, all of this is good and fine, but the way ICANN works, this may take another 2 years before we agree on anything. And in these 2 years, I'm spending business money to keep that business going. How are you helping me now, is your question, right? So I think that is a very, very important question. I'm putting myself in your shoes, having very much spent most of my time looking at income statements and scratching my head and figuring out how we're going to go forward. I think this is a discussion that the DNA, when DNA started with Adrian's leadership, I mean, I felt that this is very much where the debate and the discussion should happen about this. And I still believe, by the way, that the DNA is the place that should be helping this program you're talking about. What is ICANN's role with this is probably the bit that needs to be defined. But I think DNA is a very important arm. One of many, I hope, but certainly the key one we see that is emerging from your sector. If you look at every other sector, I mean, I was involved with the PC sector in the early 90s. I mean, until you had strong associations, things did not happen in a strong way. So I hope you all focus on that and keep the dialogue with Akram, who's very business-oriented, myself, others, to see how we're going to help you with this. But so we need to move into action mode a little bit soon.
Thank you for having both sides of the conversation on my behalf, and I actually agree with what you said and that we're worried it's going to take 2 years. But, you know, the stark reality is there are less than a million new TLDs that are resolving. The product that is our star and our champion is not doing nearly as well as we would like it to. And the really wacky thing about this whole process is that the big winners have been the losers of the auctions. Right? The losers of the auctions have, or will, surely have collected almost $200 million in revenue, while those of us who have bought into the vision of TLDs might be making collectively $20 million a year. And so the losers of these auctions will, as far as I see, make 10 times the revenue per year
Than the winners.
Those who are standing in and actually talking the story that we all believe in. And that is just deeply troubling. And when you say to me it'll take 2 years, I go, OMG.
Yeah, yeah. You cannot wait 2 years. I agree with you. May I leave you on the action note? Is Akram here in the room? Okay, so Krista can take this home to Akram. May I suggest that you have this discussion with Akram in a very direct kind of, let's just have a chat. Let's take stock. We need to take stock discussion away from the brouhaha of an ICANN meeting in a calm way. Maybe DNA and GDD can have a bit of a get-together that is sincere and direct about, okay, let's take stock. Here are the numbers. This is how companies are doing. What do we want to do?
Right.
And if I can, I'd like to attend this meeting. So as soon as Akram and you all agree, I'd like to attend it just to also understand a lot of the facts myself and think through with you how we in a substantial and maybe somewhat urgent way address this once and for all. Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Fadi.
All right. I need to run to another meeting, but good luck to you today. I hope you have a good meeting. Thanks for your tenacity and for your perseverance and for your partnership. I appreciate it. Thanks.
So thank you for your suggestions. We've collected a list of suggestions here. We have, I believe, 40 minutes left for this session. So because we may not be able to address all of these topics, we would like to take a few minutes to try to prioritize very quickly this list so that we can ensure that we can at least address the ones that are the most pressing, or at least the ones that, on balance, people would like us to address today. I think we can expect to have a substantial discussion on at least three topics for sure, and what I would suggest is that we identify those topics, and then we, if we have extra time, we try to address the other ones. So what I suggest we do is that we do a show of hands one by one very quickly, and we try to estimate what's the level of interest on all of these topics, and that will give us an idea of the prioritization. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so first agenda topic, suggested topic, GDD portal development. Can people show, can I get a show of hands for support, interest in that topic? Okay. Compliance? Okay, four, all right. RCEP?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Okay. Two characters?
Oh my God, I can't possibly talk about two characters one more time. We've talked about it all week.
So then hopefully we can go over quickly. Are we counting the remote participants?
I'm going to have one to each, please.
Okay, thanks. One to each? So, okay, we'll see. Spec 11.3b?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. Eros?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. Should I add one each time? For each? Knowledge sharing? One? Okay. Improved change assignments processes, including for brand TLDs?
13,
okay. Clarification of GDD remit and scope? One? Two? All right. Four? Three? GDD interaction and visibility to ICANN board. Three?
Four?
Five?
Six?
Six? All right. Communications on sensitive topics, such as two-character security breach.
There's one raised hand in
So that's going to be two with the person that had suggested this topic before the meeting. Online suggestion box linked from the new GTLD microsites. Okay. All right.
Before we move on, there's a request to express.
So I hear. Can you go ahead? Yeah,
we have a question online. If you can specify what knowledge sharing is, please.
Would you like to share? Did you suggest knowledge sharing?
Can the person that's suggesting knowledge sharing clarify what was the intent of this suggestion? Please go ahead.
A number of the topics were discussed with Fady there fall into the idea of knowledge sharing. It's information flow from ICANN to the registries, from the registries to ICANN and inter-registry, which follows on to the poor commercial performance of the registries and how that can be supported by pooling and sharing. Intellectual capital management, basically.
Thank you for the clarification. Is that clear to our remote participant? So should we get started on assignments? Would somebody like to initiate the discussion?
Sure, I will. I think this was put in by several people, but I was one of them. And I've got a meeting scheduled with Winnie to talk about this later today. But on the bigger issue, aside from my issue, I think ICANN needs to stop seeing us as applicants and start seeing us as operating entities. When I want to change something, to ask me to go back and update my application, I mean, we wrote those 5 years ago, right? So, I mean, we are very far untethered from the applications right now. We're an operating entity. We wrote those applications when we were not running a business just to show you we were competent. But now we're doing something similar. It rhymes with the application, but, you know, I've had a contract for 2 years. We've been in operations for 1.5 years. And I just wanted to change recently my DNS provider from someone who's already doing DNS for TLDs to someone who's already doing DNS for TLDs. It seemed to me a very simple ask. And what we got back was, please update these 20 questions to your application. Well, you know, that's looking at me as an applicant still. I want you to see me as who I really am, which is an operating registry operator.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
So I think your processes need to
understood.
Update.
Yeah.
So from an applicant model to an operational model.
I think the processes need to update from an applicant model to an operational model.
So thanks for that, Brett. So, and I'm glad this was on here because it's one of the things that we're working on, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But the letter you guys wrote in June a year ago, 95% of it we were working on, but you didn't know we were working on it. And that's why we got this really, you know, sort of pointed letter. And we asked for it. And that's been useful. But this is one of those things I was thinking even throughout the week that, you know, we need to make sure we're communicating with you, that we actually understand that and what's going on. Before I get into what's going on and how we're... why we're doing it the way we're doing it and some of our ideas on how to address the issues and the struggles and challenges. We're not asking you, I think our communication needs to be improved, but we're not asking you to update your application. We're asking for the same types of questions that were in the application to be answered. It's nuanced, but I think that the communication implies that we're asking you to update your application and it's not about that. So the registry transition process, which is incorporated by reference into your contract and which was written many years ago, says something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, says something to the effect that for certain types of changes that we will use the same level of due diligence that was used during the application process. That registry transition process was written a long time ago. There, we know a whole bunch of stuff now that we didn't know then, and it's not perfectly aligned with the contract because the contract continued to be developed after the transition process was written. I will tell you guys, I know it's painful for you. Assignments are, not all of them, but many of them are absolutely the hardest thing we do right now. And there's some stuff we are learning as we go as well, because we haven't had that type of transaction yet. So there's a whole bunch of things going on, and I could point to several of you in the room that have had different experiences that have been painful for you as much as for us. So all of that said, we know that it's not working well. We actually, right before this meeting, had a full-day workshop internally with our the services team, the operations team who operates the assignment process, our legal department who interprets the registry transition process and the contract for us, our tech services team, who's the technical side of this, to try and sort of pull this thing apart and figure out, you know, where the disconnects are and how we should put it back together. We don't know quite how to fix it yet. That was sort of a way to baseline and just start figuring out how to fix it. It probably is going to require some sort of modifications to that transition process, which is incorporated by reference into the contract, which, you know, like, that's going to be hard to fix. And there's some operational things we think we can change now. So I think to fully fix it is probably means we need to update the transition process, and that will be a longer, that will take longer. But we are looking at how we can operationally address within the confines of those documents, some of the pain points you're going through. So, you know, we'll continue to talk. We had the workshop, we identified some areas, and then we came here. So we have to go back and dig into those things we think we can do and start trying to implement those improvements. But I, you know, commit to keeping you guys updated on what's going on there. It's not going to get fixed tomorrow, but our goal is to fix it as quickly as possible. And also there are things that we're learning as we're going. For instance, change of a back end for a delegated TLD that has registrations. That's much harder than somebody who just signed a contract and wants to do a change of control to an existing registry operator. So those are kind of the spectrum. So I know Jordan had a question. Thanks for letting me talk for so long. And
sure, more a suggestion than a question, but it seems pretty, like, even if you have to perform the same level of due diligence as you did in the application process, that doesn't mean you need to do the same kind of due diligence as you did in the application process. And in fact, I think you can do much better due diligence because, to Brett's point, when we were applying, we were sort of like, we wrote you a novel that sort of told you, like, here's what we're going to do in order to accomplish, you know, to prove to you that we think we're most likely able to provide the technical capabilities and the business capabilities in order to operate a registry. Now you don't have to listen to our story and see whether it's credible or not. You can look and see, is this service actually operating according to SLA? Does it have roughly the amount of, you know, would the new registry so expand operations that might cease to be likely? Then maybe you need a little bit more evidence to understand, you know, if you're taking a TLD with 100 million registrations and putting it on a platform that only has a million currently, that might require a little bit more of a story. But if you're taking something with 10,000 registrations and adding it to something with a million, it's probably going to be fine. And similarly on the business side, right? Like, is there any reason why you would think this would be likely to perturb the operations of someone who's reliably paying you and seems to be operating well in business? You don't need to listen to the story, you can just look at the reality.
Yeah, so Adrian, just one sec. Yes, I see your hand. So that's one of the things we talked about, although I have to say I like the way that you said it. You know, we spent a whole day going round and round on this thing, but I literally wrote down what you said. It just because we're doing the same level, just because we have to have the same level of due diligence doesn't mean we have to do the same thing. So we had that notion in there, but again, I appreciate the way you said it. Adrian.
Yeah, just kind of a follow-on is, you know, once again, common sense can prevail here, and Jordan did a great job, as he always does, but and I'm also thinking that, you know, and I'm not very close to VeriSign's contract at all, but I'm pretty sure they can change their DNS provider whenever they like. They could change their registry provider if they wanted to go and use Afilias, which would be silly, but they could. Not that Afilias is bad if they're in a room, I thought, just an example. You know, that's because that's their contract, and they have 100 million names, you know. So you know, I think we can look at this, that we are responsible businesses doing responsible things. We're more notifying you that we're off to do, you know, to continue. In the normal course of business, I choose to change many different providers, from electricity to data centres to everything else. I don't see that this should be much different. I'm responsible for my business. If I make a bad choice, I've got a lot at stake here. Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Thanks. Absolutely. I mean, again, we hear you guys. The one thing I want to just remind everybody that we balance in there is perception too. We have to balance this against perception, and again, the same level of due diligence, maybe not the same things, but we want to make sure that we're changing your electricity provider is different than changing your DNS provider. And I know you're not arguing that they're the same thing, but we want to make sure that we're doing the right things also, but we completely agree with you. Like, we know it's not working properly, and we're looking into that. Rubens and
Rubinsky, for the record, I think changing electricity provider is actually riskier than changing DNS providers. So, but I would like to point out that all 2002 TLDs has a fail-safe option, which is Ibero. So if VeriSign changes their DNS provider, they don't have any kind of backup. But all TLDs that we are discussing here has the option to fail-safe to Ibero. So the risk in making this decision is smaller.
Thanks. We don't want to use the Ibero if we don't have to, though. We'd like to avoid that situation. Yes, please.
Earlier on, when you were first answering the gentleman over there, you said that we share the pain, we share the burden equally. And just the point of clarification, we don't. It's our commercial survival, our commercial success, or commercial failure that's on the line, and I don't think that's the case for ICANN. I think it's behoven on ICANN not to do a level of diligence that ensures that reputationally and strategically ICANN is clean. I think it's behoven on ICANN to do a level of diligence at the minimum necessary to ensure the continuity of the role of the registries. To do more than that puts our commercial success at risk. Every delay, every extra piece of burdensome ruling, everything of that impacts and impinges on our success or failure commercially. And at the end of the day, for most of us, it's our own money that's on the line. And that's very, very important. And I don't think ICANN entirely takes that to heart.
Are there any other comments or questions regarding the topic? John?
Just real briefly, John Nevitt. So, what's your name?
Gavin.
I want to agree with Gavin. It was great. Because we just did an assignment that didn't go very well. And I understand it's the first one, and we were the guinea pigs. I got that. But, wow. It was a check-the-box exercise after check-the-box exercise with it didn't make sense. So I would encourage you, both short-term and long-term, to work very hard, very quickly with us to say how we could rationalize that process to make it easier. If we wanted to change our DNS provider, for example, it's got to be a lot easier. If we wanted to, no offense, if we wanted to do an assignment because we bought a TLD in the secondary market, we want to encourage that, right? We don't want to discourage the secondary market for domain names or TLDs and make it harder to do that. We want to encourage that. If someone's failing, you want that to happen quickly. And so, I know you said it's going to take a while, but I would really encourage you to focus in on the long-term project because that's the problem. That's the document that we're all having problems with. And it was drafted in a different era, and it's got to be updated. And I would encourage you in September in the whatever we're calling it now, summit, to present something to us that we could work together to finalize it by, shortly thereafter. Thanks.
Okay. We're doing that, so thank you. And I guess the one thing I'd say is, the comment about us not taking your commercial interests to heart, that I appreciate that it doesn't feel like that, but we actually do. We spend a lot of time thinking about it, and you know, we did this workshop because we know this thing is broken and it's hurting you and it's not working the way it should, and how can, you know, let's look at this language again and figure out where we can make this a better process. So the team spends a lot of time thinking about how to make things easier, better for you, and still do what our job is, which is, you know, to ensure the security and stability of the DNS. So appreciate the comments, though. So thank you, and we will continue to keep you updated, and we're working fast and furious to fix it, so both short-term and long-term.
All right, thank you. So let's move on to the second topic on our agenda. That's two characters. Would somebody like to introduce this topic with some comments? Krista, would you like to potentially comment on progress that may have been made on this topic? Or
I'm happy to provide an update. I don't know if the person that suggested it wanted to specifically...
Yeah, I don't think we need an update. I think you're right. Let's, whoever wanted to talk about it, what did they want to talk about? Right.
Susan.
Thank you. Susan Payne, for the record. I didn't suggest this, but I'm quite keen to talk about it. Particularly, just there's been a bit of discussion on our registries list about the sort of short notice of the session that was arranged yesterday. And whilst I think the session was a really useful one for those of us who were able to drop everything and attend, you know how busy our schedules are, and actually that was really quite difficult for many of us to do so, and a number of people who would have wanted to have an input on that process were not present. So I don't know if you've had a sort of formal request to come to the next registry stakeholder group call. I'm not one of the XCOM, but I think it would be really valuable because you know, you were proposing a sort of process solution, and many people who will be interested were not present and will feel that they have been excluded. And we'd also, just from my own personal perspective, I'd very much like us to continue the dialogue on exactly how that form will look. I mean, I think many of us would like to have an input into what that form looks like and exactly what you're going to be asking from the governments, in order to ensure that we get a process which works effectively.
Jordan.
Thanks. I'll maybe take a slightly different view from Susan, and then I'll say, first of all, thank you guys for putting together the session yesterday. I think it was really helpful. Obviously, it was short notice, and not everyone could participate, but I can't wait because we're busy, and sometimes we can't participate in everything. I thought it was really helpful, and I would really prefer not to wait until the next registry stakeholder group meeting to make a lot more progress on this. I think Susan's right that we should be talking about, like, what the form looks like, what the process looks like, continuing to refine. I think we can do a lot of that and hopefully take to the registry stakeholder group next time they have a call a process in a state that you guys are a lot more confident will look exactly like what it's going to roll out as. And then we can be doing a final sanity check as opposed to waiting a few weeks and then starting the work.
So thanks for that, Jordan. And thanks for the thank you, actually. We don't get that very often, and it means a lot to the team and everybody, so appreciate that very much. There's a lot of hard work that's gone into that, trying to figure that awesome situation out. So maybe, Susan, to address your point, if there are folks that wanted to come, and I know of one person who reached out to me and then couldn't come or whatever, you know, if they could email, Winnie is really the best person to email, and maybe we can put Winnie's email address up in the chat so that people know how to. We can keep that. We have a list of the people that did come. We can keep those folks updated. We'll keep the stakeholder group updated too. But sort of, I'm going to marry the two points here to Jordan's point. As we continue to evolve the process and the documentation around it, like the form, which is a great suggestion, we can continue to share that with those folks. I think we intend to also send out the swim lane charts that we talked through in the session. Surely they're more useful with conversation, but I feel like that session was really highly attended for being so last minute. I think there were about 25 people there. So hopefully between us and those folks that came, the people that couldn't come, to Jordan's point, like, we want to keep moving, the folks that couldn't come can get information from you guys or from us about that. We're happy to talk to people individually too. So Yeah, so, and again, for everybody, and I think Susan wants to say something else, but for everyone who wanted to come but couldn't, please just email Winnie, and we have a short mailing list we've created of the folks that are sort of giving input on this process development.
Sorry, thank you. I wasn't sort of trying to suggest we shouldn't keep moving, just for clarity. But more that I think, you know, there's more conversation to have, you know, in order to make sure that it's a really useful process, and a lot of people will undoubtedly want to feel that they've had an opportunity to have a say on that.
Thank you. Is there anything else on those two characters?
No.
Nothing in the chat.
All right, then, let's move on. We have 15 minutes left, so let's see where we can get in our agenda. So following topics is GDD interaction and visibility to ICANN board. Would the person that introduced the topic would like to speak a word? Thanks.
Yeah, so this was one that we did, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess it's more a question as to what is the mechanism by which the GDD and greater sort of operations of the business interacts with the board, if there is any. We understand it goes up to the CEO, but is there any interaction with the board in a formal way? And if you could explain that a little bit for us.
Sure. So that there is interaction between GDD and the board. It's at the sort of Akram, Cyrus, Christine level, mostly Akram, and then Cyrus and Christine are kind of the support behind that. I personally don't have a ton of visibility into that, but it works very much like I think other organizations where topics, you know, my team informs me about stuff, I inform Cyrus, Cyrus informs Akram, Akram informs Fadi, Fadi informs the board, and Akram sometimes informs the board as well. So there's that. We have like some regular reporting type stuff that goes to them, so they get a weekly report on progress of delegations and contracts and things like that. They get regular updates on sort of milestones. So we have we all have goals, like you guys have KPIs, whatever, in your organizations. But there's also key milestones that are important to the community, and so there's a monthly report that Fadi solicits feedback, you know, through the organization, but he puts together to share with the board sort of some of key milestones that have been achieved throughout the organization, so not just GDD, but the other parts of the business. And then he sends that to the board. I'm trying to think. There's probably a couple other reporting mechanisms in there that I'm not remembering right now.
Clearly, my question is around the fact that we think there is a bit of a delta there in understanding of what you guys are doing, and particularly what the issues are that the community or that your partners, if I can use Fadi's word, that your partners are having with the GDD. Now, we think it's important that the board know that. And in my interactions with particular board members, when I go and say, hey, you know, why is this like this? They go, what are you talking about? Now, I understand you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, right? So you can give them all the reports they want, but if they're not going to read them. But, you know, I don't know. I know that the GDD scorecard was contentious and everything else. You know, I'd still like to see something like that, some sort of where we fed to you and said, please pass this on to the board as not what you're seeing as issues, what we're seeing as issues. Because sometimes they're not picked up in the right way. And that just for transparency to say, hey, guys, this is what the community came and told us were the issues and this is how we're handling them. Have that directly provided to the board would give us some comfort that that there is some visibility there.
Do you have an example of an issue that you think they didn't have visibility into that they should have by chance?
Assignments would be an easy one, right? One that sprung to mind was the... Fadi was just talking about it. Breach. Thank you. The security breach. As far as when I went to ask, you know, what the process had been, it was shrug shoulders to say, oh yeah, we heard something about a breach, but not, you know, to the level that hey, this was serious. And by the way, we thought the process by which we were informed was a bit messy and yada yada yada. None of the issues around. So yes, they got told there was a breach. But as to what the impact to us was, well, I felt there's a real severe... And, you know, it's only going to be something severe. I don't expect them to get down right into the minutiae. You know, they're board members, after all. But I believe they should have, you know, a very good... not very good, a good understanding of how ICANN is doing as an operations organisation. And I don't think they do.
Sure, thanks. I think we're doing most of what you're talking about. Assignments, I can't remember if that was one of the ones we briefed them on. That is a very operational thing, but maybe we can do, I think there's a couple things in there. Maybe we can do just a better job of briefing them. Also, they tend to sort of divide and conquer, so some of them know more about certain topics than others, and you might just be grabbing the wrong one, or I know, like, in the session you guys had with the board and the stakeholder group, that was a new format. They randomly selected who would be on the... So it's possible that the folks that... the board members that were... had greater visibility into what happened with the breach were not necessarily the people at the table. So there's a couple things, but I take the feedback, and most of the issues, if not all of them, we do try to brief them, but maybe we could do a better job of that and try and create some. I mean, you have to keep in mind part of the struggle is they're the board, right? So yes. The issues are occurring down here, and they're like seven layers above that, and you can't draw a straight line because like. I mean, assignments are so nuanced, you know, and so part of the struggle is you go up and say about they know assignments are a struggle, but they don't understand every single point about it, and so that creates a disconnect. And we honestly, when we're writing talking points, I constantly am struggling with like, how do I make this something that they can speak about? Because I know you guys are going to talk about your very specific situation, and they can't answer every specific situation. So anyway, I'll take that back and throughout the organization, not just our specific issues, but throughout the GDD, and share that feedback that maybe we can try and better prepare them.
Yeah, and actually, what I think I'm trying to ask for here is that raising the profile of what you're doing is you're doing something vitally important. I bet you if I went to a board member and asked them about IANA transition, yeah, of course that's important, but we're also the people paying the bills here. The contracted side and the work you're doing is vital, and I don't think that they have that level of understanding of just how vital. So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm actually trying to circle the wagons around you guys to say, hey,